We're on Daf Chet Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down, opposite Bechulda and Tosafot. V'amar Rabbi Ami. Amar Rabbi Ami, the Gemara now is about to dash in the next Pasuk in Kohelet Yud, which is V'amar Rabbi Ami, Mai Dichtiv. What is meant by the Pasuk? Im Yishocha Nachash, Belo Lachash. If the snake bites, but the charmer has yet to charm it, Ve'ni Daron, the Bala Lashon. Then what's the point of having a charmer? If the snake is not charmed and he bites, then there's no value in the charmer. Imra itador, shashamayim mishtachin kinuchoshet. If you see a generation in which the sky turns reddish like copper, as she talks about rusting, milohri talu matar, it's not giving any tal, it's not giving any matar, bishvil lochashay lechishot shein bador. It's because of the absence of those that Lochesh l'chishot here are charmers, but the Gemara is playing on Lochesh l'chishot, meaning those that can daven. My takanatan, what is the takana? How do we resolve this issue? Yochu etzul mishu de luchosh. They should go to someone who knows how to daven. Now when we talk about Lochesh here, so far we're talking about someone who's davening. It's a shmona esrei, a tefillah shel yachid. So these people don't know how to daven. Because they don't daven tefillah shebelachash, they can't get the rain. So what should they do? They should go to someone and either learn or have them daven on their behalf. Dichtiv, because it says, Yagid alav re'o. Yagid alav re'o is that the noise tells of the oncoming storm. When you make the noise, that's what gives you a warning, gives you a heads up that the storm is coming. So it's over here, the tefillah, the noise of the davening is what makes it possible for the rain to come, for the storm to follow. Veini taron lebala lashon. There's no benefit in having a charmer. Umish evshar luchosh. Veino lochesh. Someone who has the capability or ability to daven. Veino lochesh. And doesn't. Mahana yeshlo. What benefit is there from him, or what benefit is there to him that he can daven? So if he doesn't exercise that ability to daven, then what's the point of being able to daven? Vim lachash velo nene. He davens and he's not answered. My takanate, what should he do to rectify that? Yelech etzel chassid shebedor, should go to one of the righteous of the generation. Virbe alav bitfilah, and he should daven on his behalf. He should daven even more. Shenamar, it says vayitzav aleha b'mafkia, so that he commands it. And now b'mafkia here was talking about lightning or the light that Hashem commands the lightning to strike. But the Gemara is playing here, v'yitzav aleha b'mafkia, is that Hashem commands b'mafkia b'tfilah. So v'ein p'giya ela tfilah, and we see that the word p'giya is a synonym for tfilah, shenemar, because it says by Yirmiyahu, v'yata al tidpalel ba'ad amazet, do not daven on their behalf. We quoted this yesterday, both of these psukim. Here's the more extensive quote of the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. V'al tisa ba'adam rina, don't cry out on their behalf, u'tfilah, and daven on their behalf. V'al tifkabi, and don't bother me. But here in the context, don't bother me means don't daven, don't ask on their behalf. If he davens and he succeeds in that his request is granted, and then he feels good about it, he feels haughty because Hashem responded, he brings anger to the world. Shenemar, so here is from Iod Lamed Vav, this is the continuation of the Pasuk, Mikneh af oleh, so which is Yagid alav reo, Mikneh af al oleh. So that's the end of that pasuk. So the first part of the pasuk says Yagid alav reo is that the noise precedes the storm. The noise indicates that the storm is coming. Mikneh af al oleh. The cattle tell us of the oncoming tempest. So the second half of the pasuk, the Gemara is reading allegorically. Mikneh is tekoneh, af is anger. So he's koneh anger aloleh, from aliyah, from going up. In that if he is haughty about the fact that his tefillot were answered, and that's in the first half of the puzzle, which is yagid alav reo, that the noise brings the storm, so his davening brought the result that he wanted, then mikneh af aloleh. If he then becomes high or haughty, then he's koneh af. He will acquire anger. Rav amar, shnei talmidei chachamim sheyoshvim b'irachat, vein nochim zeh lazeh b'alachat. You have two Talmidei Chachamim that live in the same city, and they are not, Nochim would be nice to each other in Halacha. Rashi brings two interpretations. He has actually an alternative, Girsa slightly. They need to speak to each other and discuss halacha. And they don't do that. So that's one possibility of what's going on here. The other possibility is that it's actually a positive statement, which means that if they are nice to each other and discuss the halacha, then they are protected. And that we'll see from the pasuk in a second, which is ve'inochim zel zelacha mitkaneim ba'af umalin oto. So the one possibility is that they cause mitkane from like the word jealousy, but instigates umalin oto. They bring up anger. They're the ones who trigger the anger, so that causes anger. The second way Rashi read it was mitkaneim ba'af umalin oto. That those are nochim when they're noche to each other. Then mitkaneim ba'af means that they cause the af to go away. They cause it to be jealous and remove it because it can't attack them. Right, it's the same. It's just read in the positive or the negative. Correct. So either it's a positive statement that if they are nochim, it removes the anger, or if they're not nochim, it triggers the anger. Shenamar mikneh af alole, which is the pasuk that we just quoted before, which is that the, again, koneh af, or the kid'ah of af, alole. Ole here is referring to whether it means they are not nice to each other, meaning ole, that they're too haughty, that they won't talk to each other. Raf ole is that they are mavir omidotehem, and that they causes the anger to go away, or to move away. So it's mekaneh. Because of what they do, it causes the af to be jealous and not able to attack them, alole, and then it goes away, it lifts up. Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? All the animals are going to come by the snake. From Rimlo, Ari Dores, Veochel. The Ari kills its prey and eats it on the spot because he's not afraid of anybody. He doesn't have to take it anywhere. Zeb Toref, the wolf attacks its prey. Veochel, but he's Torefit. He doesn't leave it there. He drags it back to his den and then he eats it in his den. Ata, maha na'a yesh lecha. What benefit do you have? So these animals kill their prey in order to eat it. The nachash just, for instance, attacks man, or he will bite an individual, but he's not planning on eating that individual. So he causes damage, he kills individuals without having any utility from it. Mardahem, veni taron lebala lashon. He says, well, why do people speak lashon hara? There's no benefit from speaking lashon hara, and yet they do speak lashon hara. So his point is that the snake, Hashem will bring the animals to get to the snake, and they'll say he makes bites with no benefit. And so too, those that speak Lashon Hara bite with no benefit. And so he says they will be put together. The Nachash will be the representative of all those that speak Lashon Hara, because he was the first one to do such a thing in Gan Eden. And they'll be brought to him. They act in the same way as the Nachash. So that's what it means, Latid Lavo. Everybody will come by the Nachash. And then those that speak Lashon Hara will be compared or partners with the Nachash. That's interesting, those that speak Lashon Hara, point of speaking Lashon Hara, sometimes it's just rechilut, which means just tail-bearing. People enjoy having information and passing information, gives them a certain amount of status because they have the information. But many times Lashon Hara is spoken for the benefit, supposedly, of the person who's speaking the Lashon Hara, because there are two ways for a person to make themselves better in life or to raise their status or stature. One is to be better. The other way to do that is to push everybody else down. And usually Lashon Hara is done that way. Lashon Hara is a way to basically push down on others in order to raise oneself. So I think that's maybe what the Gemara is after over here. Not exactly, but any Taron about the Lashon is that there's really no benefit to you. There's a seeming benefit, which is that by pushing others down, you've raised yourself. But in the end, you haven't moved anywhere. You haven't raised or elevated yourself in any way. And that's what's Mayitaron, Babala Lashon. Speak to Lashon Hara. You're still in the same static place that you were before. You have not improved your situation. You've just ruined or hurt others in that way. Amir Rabbi Ami, Ein tefilato shel adam nishmat, elim kein misim nafsho bekapo. That a tefillah of a person is not heard unless he puts his nefesh, his soul, into his hands or his heart into his hands. Shenemar. So it says in the pasuk in Eicha, this is Per Gimel in Eicha, which is in alphabetical order, and it has a repetition of the letters. It's alphabetical order, but there are three refrains, or three psukim of every letter. And there it says, the pasuk before is, Nach v'sad arkenu v'nach koram,
v'nashuva ad Hashem.
And then this pasuk, which is, Nisa levavenu al kapayim, that we will take our hearts into our hands. So basically, you're pouring yourself out before Hashem, you're putting your heart into your hands. That's the way to dive into Hashem. Mar says, Ini, is that really true? Va'ukim Shmuel Amora Ale. Shmuel had an Amora in front of him. An Amora, again, is the equivalent of a megaphone. It's someone who repeats the drasha from the Talmud Chacham. Could be that he's translating it to the language of the Hamunam. And most likely, it's just that he was able to speak loudly. And if, again, in a very hierarchical society, then the Chacham sits and he whispers the drasha, and the other person says over the drasha beneath him to be the one who goes up there and screams and raises his voice and speaks. He just conveys the information to the Amora. So it says, Mekim Amora Aleh, means that he's giving a drasha on the pasuk, the darash. He's darash this pasuk. Vayifatuhu bifihem. And they flattered him with their mouths. Flattered him means Hashem, with their mouths. Ubil shonam yichazvulo. And with their tongues, with their language, they lie to him. Vilibam lo nachonimo. And their hearts are not constant with him. V'lo ne'emnu b'brito, and they're not faithful to his covenant. But then, the subsequent pasuk, there is, v'afo b'gein, v'hu rachum yichaper avon. Nevertheless, Hashem is mechaper avon. So despite the fact that their tefillot are not wholehearted, and despite the fact that their tefillot are not necessarily coming from the right place, nevertheless, Hashem answers them in the positive. V'hu rachum yichaper avon. So what do you mean, in order to be answered, you have to have your heart in your hands? Here it sounds like you don't even have to be genuine, and you get an answer from Hashem. It says, Lokasha, it's one of the most important statements here, Kan be yachid, kan be tzibur. It makes a big difference if you're an individual or you're with the tzibur. When you're a yachid, then you got to pour your heart out. Your heart's got to be in your hands. In a tzibur, as Rashi says, Tfilatam nishmat vafu pisha ein leiv kulam shalein. So even though not everyone is wholehearted in the tzibur, there's still, within the tzibur as a whole, you have a power as the tzibur. And so then, either in the sum total of everybody there, we get the proper kavanah, we get the proper tefillah, or the power of the tzibur is that it even drags along those people that are unable to have the proper intent or proper kavanah. So even though you have those that aren't, they get answered by the benefit of the tzibur. Generally, when we daven in a tzibur, what is the benefit of davening in a tzibur? We know that this is one of the major benefits, is that the tefillot are answered. Now, how does that work when you're together with the tzibur? So again, it could work in one of two ways, like we described here. One way is that there's a court tzibur that's powerful enough that it can take along everyone else. Or the Gra has an interesting view of it, which is that the sum total of the tzibur gets to something that's a whole. So that you have kavana and this tefillah, I have kavana and this tefillah, I did this right, you did this right. If we add that all together, then we get one whole that is right. One whole that has proper kavana, which we individually wouldn't be able to do by ourselves. But together, we're able to accomplish that because we piece together the best of everybody. And therefore, we're better than the sum of the parts. And that's why the tefillah tzibur is so great. But it is a big impetus to go to Minyan and to be a part of a tzibur because of this, which is that the tefillah of the tzibur is much more powerful than the tefillah of the yachid. Amar Rabbi Yami, Ein geshamim yordim, ele bishvil balei amana. The rain only comes down because of those people that are honest. As Rashi is going to say over here, that those people who act faithfully, b'masav b'matan, in business. They are honest in business. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Emet mi'eretz titzmach. Truth will rise up, spring forth from the ground. V'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. And righteousness from the heavens will look down. You see that there is a correlation between emet mi'eretz titzmach, truth or honesty that bursts forth from down below. That's referring to our contribution, the human contribution. That if we contribute emet, then tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. Then the righteousness descends or looks down from heaven, that'll be the rain. So there is a quid pro quo. If the on is down below, then the rains come from up above. V'ama Rabbi Ami, bo're kama gidolim balei amana. How great or how important are people that are honest? Minayin michuda ubor. From the story of a weasel and a pit. Uma amamin b'chuda ubor. If you believe in that story of the weasel and the boar, certainly if you trust or rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly that will be the case. Now what they're saying here is, Balei Amanai, is if you make a commitment to do something, and then you have guarantors of that commitment, if you believe that the guarantors will ensure that that commitment happens, then certainly if you commit to do something with Hashem as the guarantor, then for sure it will be taken care of, or Hashem will be the guarantor that this will take place. It's a problem anytime you come to an agreement or you make a commitment to someone, then you're always looking for witnesses. But the witnesses are only as good as their mortality, which means that they're not necessarily permanent. The Torah has the same problem, and therefore what does it do for its witnesses? It says, Zinu Shemayim, it uses Shemayim Va'aretz in order to be witnesses, because there's something that are immortal, and that's why the witnesses or the commitment is there forever. That's how Hashem says that the Shemayim Va'aretz will ensure that Bnei Yisrael keep their commitment through the rain and through the growth of the crops that come from there. So over here, it's a story that is not mentioned here, but brought down in the Midrashim. Rashi brings it in short form, Tosafot brings it in a bigger form, it's in the Aruch, brings the story down. We can read it in Tosafot, just to make it easier, it's in Tosafot Bechulda. It says, Ma'aseh haya b'nara achat, hayta rutza lelech lebeit avia. There was this young lady, young maiden, who wanted to go to her father's house. V'ya bor b'derech. There was a pit or a cistern along the way. V'nafla. And she fell into the pit. She was trapped there, alone, out in a place where there was no one to help her. Ubaba churechad. There was a young man who came by. V'amar. Im ani elech tinasili. If I take you out of here, if I get you out of here, will you marry me? Amarlohein says yes. V'nishbe'u b'nehem. And they took a oath. Obviously, they weren't old enough, I guess, at the time to marry. Or they had to do whatever they did. They made a commitment to each other that they would marry each other. Shulo yisai isha acheret. He would marry no other woman. V'hi lo tinasei le'ish acher. And she will not marry any other man. V'amru. Me'mi'id b'einenu. Who's going to be the witnesses here? Here, they're alone, out in the field. Who's going to be the guarantor of this commitment? Aita chulda achat olechet lifnei abor. There's this weasel that was passing by the cistern. Ramru, Elu Shnaim, Bor v'chulda, Yuedim b'neinu. This Bor and the Chulda will be the witnesses, the guarantors that this will come true. V'chul l'darkam. They went on their own merry ways. V'hi amda b'shvata. She stood by her commitment and did not marry anyone. V'hu nasa isha acheret. He married another woman. V'yalda ben, and he gave birth to a child, bat chulda v'nashachto v'meit. So his first child that's born has the child, and then a weasel comes and bites him, and he dies. V'yalda lo ben shini, then he has a second child, v'nafal lebor umeit, and he falls into a cistern and dies. Amar lo ishto, ma ze amaseh she'igia lanu, shelo kishar b'nei adam. So his wife starts to have some suspicions and says, our children are dying in this unnatural way. Why is this happening? Is there something that you know that I don't know? Because what is going on here? Niskar hashvua. Then he remembered the commitment that he had made to this young girl. He had forgotten about it. V'siper l'ishto kol ha'maaseh. And he told his wife about the whole incident. Amrlo, she says to him, Imkein chazur v'kachena. Go back and marry her. That's your commitment. V'katav laget. He divorces the woman that he was married to. V'alach v'nasa et abtula. He went and married the woman that he had committed to. That's what people say. Amamin babur v'chulda she'emidu edutam. If you believe in the bor and the chulda who ensured or guaranteed the commitment between this young man and this young lady. So if you believe that they're going to carry out their mission to be guarantors, if Hashem is the guarantor, then for sure, achad kam v'kamol, that Hashem is going to ensure that you keep your word. And obviously that he keeps his word, that's not a question. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol matzdiget atzmo milamata, matzdigin alav adin milamalo. Now, this seems a little counterintuitive, and the Gemara will explain this in a second. So, anybody who is matzdiget atzmo milamata, he's righteous down below, matzdigim alav adin milamalo. Now, I would have read it that they are righteous against, they are righteous with regards to the din up above, which means that they're lenient in din. But that's not the way the Gemara is. The Gemara is reading it as Matzdikin Alav Adin Milamalo is that they are more makpid on him from the heavens. So if you're good down here, they're even more makpid on you from the heavens. Shenamar, because it says, Emet Meretz Titzmach. He's acting appropriately down here. He's Emet. He's truthful, honest. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Vitzedek Mishamayim Nishkaf. And from the heavens comes down Tzedek. Now, as Rashi explains over here, that the tzedek is not the word staka, but rather tzedek, meaning din. Mida keneged mida. They take him to task on everything. And that's what Rashi says. Matzdigin alav midaktikim imo afilu kechut asara. They are makpid even on a hair's breadth on him. Yoter mishilu mikalkel masav. More than someone who doesn't act appropriately. Today, lemareik avonotav. To clear away any of his sins. And it says, staka inktivkan. It's not written staka here. Elet tzedek, demashma din. So what Rashi is explaining here is that this is to the benefit of the individual. If the individual acts appropriately down here, it's a tzaddik, and it keeps emet, and is faithful, so on and so forth, then there's more likely to bump into difficulties from Mishamayim. Why? Because they are trying to ensure that anything that he does wrong is taken care of in this world, so that he is the beneficiary of his goodness in the next world. On the other hand, someone who acts inappropriately is less likely to get the akbada of Shemayim on him, because they'll let him live, let him enjoy, so that he gets the reward here, and will punish him latid lavo. So that's the meaning, or the way the pasuk is being darshan in this context. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav Huna Mehocha. You can learn that out from here. Uchiyiratcha Evratecha. This is from Tefillah Moshe that we say every week on Shabbat. And it says, just like your fear, Evratecha is, so is your anger. So there's a parallel drawn between the fear of God and his anger. So what do the two have to do with each other? Someone who fears God is in the right place. So the fear of God is a good thing. So why is the one who fears God then have an equation that so is his wrath, the anger, which makes it sound like those that fear God will be the subjects of his anger? So the answer is just like what we said here. The more that a person acts appropriately down here, the more likely they are to receive the anger of God, because, again, they're trying to remove any bad that he's done. They're more makpid on him. It's the Isurim that will protect him. Now, it also has to do with the idea that kol ha'gadol mi'chaveiro, yitzro yigdol imenu, that a person who's greater than his friend, his yitzro is greater, but they also hold him to a higher standard in heaven. And that higher standard is because if you're at a certain level, we expect more of you, but we also are going to punish you, both for the reason that you're on a higher level and therefore we expect more, but also we want to get rid of those sins. We want to clean up those sins. Shlakesh Amar Mihocha, it says, we learn it from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is, Pakata etzas. You struck down the one who was happy, rejoicing. Vosed tzedek, and the one who does righteousness. Bidrachecha yizkerucha. In your ways they will remember you. Heinata katzafta. Vinecheta, you are angry because we sinned. Bahem leolam, that's our way always. Veniva sheya, and you should expect salvation. You look in the pasuk, he struck down those that were happy and osed tzedek, and those that do righteousness. So wait a minute, why is he striking down those that are happy and doing righteousness? That seems to be the wrong thing. The answer is no. Exactly the same thing we just said here. Those that are acting that way will be struck by God. And bedrachecha yizkerucha. And in your ways they will remember you means that those people, when they are punished, know why they're being punished, because they say, you got angry because we sinned. So why should we expect salvation if we are always sinning? I mean, that they attribute the bad or what happens to them to Hashem because they understand that it's their sins that cause Hashem to be angry, and they accept the Yisurim for Hashem in order to rectify the chataim that they have done. And that's why you have this pagata etzas v'otzet tzedek. These people, again, b'drachecha yizkerucha, is that in your ways they will mention you l'tova. They will not question why you're angry at them. They'll understand why it is that they're being punished. Right? Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Kol ha'sameach b'yisurim shebayin alav mevi yeshua le'olam. Anybody who is happy with the yisurim that come on him brings salvation to the world. Shenemar, b'hem le'olam. Which is the pasuk that we just quoted, which is, Hein ataka tzafta v'necheta, Shem, you become angry because we sinned. Ba'am lo'olam, we are always involved. This cycle is continuous. V'niva sheya, there it's a rhetorical question. V'niva sheya, and we should expect salvation. But here the Gemara is reading as a statement, which is, Ba'am lo'olam, if you're always plagued by Yisurim, v'niva sheya, there will be salvation. Amar Reish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? V'atzarat ha-shamayim, v'shash ha-shamayim ne'atzarim b'lorid matar, when the heavens close from bringing rain, domeh le'isha shemechavelet. It's the equivalent of a woman who is going through the birth pangs. Ve'eni yoledet. but is not giving birth. She has labor, she has contractions, but she's not giving birth. There's also the same terminology is used by a woman, and here he's going to make a parallel along the theme of birth between Shemayim and birth. So it says Atzira by the rain, and it says, which we just read, Vatzara Te Shemayim, we read it in Kriyat Shema every day. Nemra Atzira Bisha, Nemra Atzira Bisha, Shenemar, Ki Atzor Atzara Hashem Biad Korechem. And Hashem punishes Avimelech because of taking Sarah, Ki Atzor Atzara Hashem Biad Korechem, that he stopped all the women there from giving birth. But it uses the term Atzar in that context as well. Venemra atzira b'gshamim, it says atzira b'gshamim, detiv atzara t'shamayim. Nemra le'da b'isha, venemra le'da b'gshamim. Same parallel with regards to birth. Nemra le'da b'isha, detiv atar v'telid bain, that she conceived and gave birth. Venemra le'da b'gshamim, detiv v'olida v'itzmicha. Which is a pasuk that we quoted in yesterday's daf, that the rain is like giving birth, and then v'itzmicha, and then it grows up. So we compared, we had this parallel in yesterday's daf, that the rain is the equivalent of bringing life and giving birth. Veholida. That was when we said that roveya, the rain is like the baal of the aretz. And then we carried on that parallel, veholida v'tzmicha. So here the equivalent of giving birth. Nemar pikida b'isha, but nemar pikida b'gshamim. Pikida is mentioned by a woman. Pikida here means conception, or it can mean that Hashem focuses and remembers them. Nemar pikida b'isha, dektiv Hashem pakad et Sarah. That Hashem remembered Sarah, but remembered her that she conceived. Never pkida b'gshamim dichtiv pakadata haaretz v'tishokekeha rabat ta'ashrena pele gelukim malei mayim. So pakadata means you visited haaretz, you visited the land, v'tishokekeha, and you watered it. Rabat ta'ashrena, you enriched it greatly. Peleg Elokim, the river of God, Malimayim, was full of water. So you see here, this idea that God's visit brings with it the rain, just like Hashem pakadet Sarah, quote-unquote Hashem visited Sarah, that she then conceived. So rain is connected with Hashem's visit and with the birth, or with the conception. Tumar says, my Peleg Elokim, Malimayim, is it that the river of God is full of water? Tana kamin kuba yesh berakia. There is this, I would call it chamber in heavens. Rashi says it's an ohel, it's a tent, but I would say it's a chamber in heavens, shimimena gishamim yotzim, from which the rain exits, from which the rain comes. So that's what it means, pelegukim alemayim, that the source of the water, the source of the rain is from the heavens, from Hashem. So here we have this parallel between the isha and the rain, which is the process of bringing about the rain is a difficult process. The stopping of the rain and the inability for rain to come is painful, just like the pangs of labor are painful, especially if you don't give birth. And then the rain coming is the equivalent of giving birth. And the two required pkida. It's Hashem's direct involvement, which we started the Masechta with on the first daf, which are the three keys that Hashem holds. The key of life, the key of gishamim, and the key of tchiyata meitim. So over here, the key of life, giving birth, and the key of gishamim are Hashem's purview. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? Im l'shevet, im l'artso, im l'chesed, yam tziyehu. So the pashtura pasuk is, im l'shevet, if it is to hit hard, im l'artso, if it's for the benefit of the land, im l'chesed, if it is for goodness, generosity, yam tziyehu, Hashem will cause it to happen. So what does that mean? Im l'shevet, if he needs to bring down the storms and the heavy rains, barim u'gvot, he'll bring it in the mountains and in the high places, so that it won't affect the people. It won't be detrimental to the people. He'll take it where there aren't residents, places where people will not be affected by it. Im l'chesed, if it's gentle and good rains, then yam tziyehu l'artzo. Then he'll make it available to his land, basadot u'bramim, in the fields and in the orchards, im l'shevet l'ilanot. If it's the heavy rains, then he'll make sure it comes down for the trees. We saw that before, that Rabbi made a statement back on Gimel Amud Bet, that mitra razia l'ilane, the heavy rains are good for the trees, mitra necha, the lighter rains, the softer rains are good l'peire, for the fruits or for the tvu'ah, for the grains. So the same thing over here. Im l'shevet. A shevet is a staff, which you lead with, you hit with. So that if it's heavy duty rains, then he brings it le'ilan ol. It's good for the trees. Im la'artzo, if it's the lighter rains, then lizra'im. He brings it for the seeds, for the tuah, for the grains. Im lechesed, if it's the light showers, yamtzeo borot shechim umiarot, then it'll be for the water systems, for the cisterns and for the caves to fill the water that needs to be filled over there. So there are all these different types of rains that come, and Hashem, Yamtzeo, directs them to the place that they should come so that they are beneficial to us. Bimei Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, havakafna umotna. They were facing very difficult times. They had a kafna, which is a ra'af. There was a famine. Umotna is dever. There was also a plague that was killing amongst them. Amre, the people said, Hechi Navid, what should we do? Nibai Rachmi Atarte Lo Efshar. We can't ask Hashem for both. We'll see why. The Gemara will tell us afterwards why that is, but we can't ask for both. So we have to pick which one we're going to ask for. Elo Nibai Rachmi Amotna. Let's ask for Rachamim on the Dever, on the plague. Bekafna Nizbom, and we'll deal with the famine. Amar Lohu Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. Shmuel bar Nachmani rejects their answer and says, Nibai Rachmi Akafna. Let's stop in for the removal of the famine. Tichi Yaiv Rachmana Sova. When Hashem provides sustenance, Lechayehu Diyahiv. He only gives it for life. And Hashem's not going to provide such sustenance so that everybody's going to die. So let's ask for the sustenance, and when he gives it, that will by itself remove the motna, because when he provides, he'll give in a generous manner that also causes life. Tichtiv, because it says, Poteach et yadecha, umazbia lechol chai ratzon. Hashem opens up his hands, and mazbia sustains all living beings. But that's chai. He opens up his hands for those to live. How do you know that you can't make two requests at once? Because it says in Ezra, this is when Ezra gathers the people together to go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. They're on the banks of the rivers in Bavel, and they're about to head out. And he says, let us fast and beseech Hashem on this matter. This matter is that Ezra was too embarrassed to ask the king for troops and protection along the way. He already asked him for so much, number one. To allow them to go back to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Mikdash, and the king is sending them with a lot along the way. Plus, he told the king that if we're on a mission of God, God protects us. So since we're doing the mission of God, God's going to take care of us. So to ask for troops then to protect him would be antithetical to what he mentioned before, which is that God protects us because we're doing the mitzvah. So he says, I couldn't ask the king for protection, but we have a dangerous trip ahead. So let's natsuma, let us fast. Let's ask God for this issue that he'll protect us. Before they left, they basically fast and daven that it should be a safe journey and that they should be successful in returning to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that he says alzot on this implies that there were other things that they needed. But it says alzot, this thing in particular. So they only dealt one issue even though there were multiple issues to deal with. But marava amrei mishmei de Rabbi Chagai. In Eretz Yisrael, that's in Bavel, and in Eretz Yisrael, they said they learned it out from here, Mihocha, they learned it out from Daniel. It says, V'rachamin li mibayi min kadam eluka shmaya arraza dana. This is by Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He has a dream, and he can't get the interpretation that he needs, and he can't remember what's going on. So he's about to kill out all the wise men in Bavel, because nobody can answer him with the right answer. So Daniel takes leave, and goes and tells Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that they should daven to Hashem, and beseech Hashem that he should reveal them the secret. Let us ask for mercy from the God in heaven. On this secret, Dana spoke the hey there in the text, but on this secret, they had other things to daven for, but he just says, let's ask on this thing, even though there were other things. The fact that it uses an exclusive term here and also in Ezra tells you that there were other items they could have asked for, but they only asked for this item. That shows you that when you have multiple items to ask for, you only ask for one at a time. Bimei Rabbi Zeira, Gazur Gzeira. So in the time of Rabbi Zeira, the kings, the occupiers at the time, made a Gzeira that they weren't allowed to practice certain mitzvot. And one of them was Gazur Delomete Betanito. They made a Gzeira that they could not gather together for fast days. Alright, it's the same thing. Gazur Shmada or Gazur Gzeira are laws against religious practice. Gzeirat HaShmad is a terminology that's used in the Gemara and Sanhedrin to refer to religious persecution. This was a religious persecution, and the Gzeira, Gazur, Dolomaita Betanita. So one of the Gzeirot was they cannot gather together in fast days and to daven together. They saw that, I guess the enemy thought, that they gave them power, and so they didn't want to allow them to get together. Whether they thought that they were being subversive by getting together and they were planning to rebel, which we saw the problem with the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, why we blew later in the day is because if you went to shul early in the day and start blowing, they thought it was a rebellion because it was a instrument of war. It was a call to arms. So it's not over here. That's what was driving this, or they felt that they didn't want them to have the ability to daven for their own benefit. So then, Amar lo Rabbi Zeira, Nikabla Yilavan, Ulchei Batel Agzeira Litve. We'll accept the fast upon ourselves now, because we can't fast, and we'll fast once they lift the Gzeira. So he wanted to fast, whether they were fasting for rain or they were fasting to remove the Gzeira, whichever it was. We can't physically do it now, but we can accept upon ourselves to do it, commit to do it, and that'll be enough. Not just those days. I'm saying this is not unique to their days, meaning that fasting when something bad happened, the Rishonim talk about the same thing. The Rishonim talk about fast days and even personal fast days and personal days of celebration. The Rambam himself talks about that the day that he landed in Akko, when his ship landed in Akko, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he made it a personal holiday for him and his generations afterwards. But he also talks about fast days when certain things happened for him, when he got kicked out of where they were living. He made it a fast day for his family. Fast days were a regular occurrence for them. In their day, it was much more common, I would say, for two reasons. One reason is that they weren't eating so much anyway. A fast day wasn't so much different than a day where they ate. They were not so wealthy, and even in the times, I'm saying in times of past, they did not eat the amount that we eat today. And fasting, the poskim already talk about what we call nitkatnu adorot, but we're much weaker today. We can't fast on the type of regularity that they fasted, and we can't maintain that many fasts. In their day, the fasting was a regular occurrence, but I'm saying I don't think it was so different from their regular day. For us, it's an extreme to fast. That's one issue with regards to fasting. The second issue with regards to fasting is a nature of a fast. There are two different types of fasts. You're speaking one type of fast is a fast for tshuva and for changing gzeira. The other type of fast is an avelut or a commemoration of a bad event or a terrible event. There is, in the keynote in Tisha B'Av, you'll see when you read them this year, Ein lo sif shod v'shever. You're not allowed to add on. That's what it says in the Kina. We're not allowed to add on any more fast days to the calendar. And therefore, what's the therefore? We concentrate everything on Tisha B'Av. So that was the argument after the Holocaust in terms of creating a commemoration. Should you have your separate Yom HaShoah? Or do we not add days to the calendar? And we don't add days to the calendar, so then where does it go? It goes on Tisha B'Av. So that's the tension as to whether the Holocaust is commemorated on Tisha B'Av or should be commemorated as a separate day. There are differences of opinion in the spectrum about that. The other thing to note is that there really were no other fast days for many years that were added to the calendar. I mean, on Tisha B'Av, we commemorate many different incidents. Not all that took place on Tisha B'Av. Right. We are much more reluctant to be gozer gzero tanit, again, because the tzibur can't do it. So to be gozer tanit and nobody does it, then what's the point? So today we have much more yechidim fast, and that's the people who are able to and the yechidim do fast. Even when we daven for rain, to ask for a fast day, that's a pretty extreme thing. We do it like once. Here they were fasting every Monday and Thursday for rain when it was a problem. I think that the times have changed and the
use.
Yes, that's part of it. You're right. There was life and death if the rain didn't come. But again, I think that they were much more in practice of fasting. We barely can make it through the five fast days that we have in the calendar. We have all sorts of dispensations. People can't even make it through those five fast days that we have in the calendar. I'm saying they were fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday. If you ask people to fast B'Av today, it'd be an undertaking that the tzibur couldn't do. There has been a change in that dynamic. But it was the practice back then. As soon as they had an issue, that was what they did. Tanit, tefillah, staka. I mean, that was we're going to see here in the Gemara. That's exactly what happened. Amri lei, so they say to Rabbi Zeira, menalach ha. How do you know that this is the case? That if you accept the fast, that's enough to change the decree? Amru dichtiv, because it says by Daniel. We quote this back in Rosh Hashanah. By Yomre Eli, when it appeared to Daniel, when the malach appears to Daniel, Atira Daniel, don't be fearful, Daniel. Kimina Yom Rishon Asher Natata Libecha Lavinu Hitanot. From the first day that you put your heart to understand and to fast, Lifnei Elokecha, before your God, Nishmeu Divarecha, your words were heard, your supplications, your tefillot were heard. So the Gemara's drasha here is Kimina Yom Rishon Asher Natata Libecha. From the moment that you put your heart to it, you were already heard. So that means as soon as you decided to fast, then you already heard, You didn't even have to fast. So the commitment to fast, the acceptance of the fast, is enough to sway the heavens. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Afilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu. Even if you have years like the years of Eliyahu and Achav, where Eliyahu says there's not going to be rain, the place is parched for 3 years, and then rain falls on Erev Shabbat, they even had a drop of rain for 3 years. If it rained on an Erev Shabbat then, that is a siman klala, because, Rashi says over here, everybody's running around to the shuk to get their Sudat Shabbat. Many times it rains, and it makes it difficult for everybody to prepare for Shabbat. When rain comes, rain can come and be difficult, and rain can come and be beneficial. So even though rain, whether it comes at a good time or not, is beneficial, the only question is, what impact does it have on the normal conduct of individuals? The day of rain is just as difficult as the Yom HaDin. I would have just said it, Yom HaDin, which is if you go to court, or the Latid Lavo Yom HaDin, which is a difficult day, that the day of rain is as difficult as that, is as scary as that. But the way Rashi learns it is, Yom HaDin is Monday and Thursday, where everybody would gather in the city to adjudicate their cases, and they would come to the shuk, so it would be a lot of noise and hubbub in the city. So too with rain. It brings with it a whole bunch of noise and difficulty with it. Amar Meimar, Ilo Ditzarach Lebrayata Be'inan Rachmei Vatlinan Le. If we didn't need it to sustain the world, we would dive in to remove it. This is similar to the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim. If you remember in the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, when he exits the Kodesh HaKodeshim, he asked that this year should be rain. He also asked that the tefillot of the Ovrei Drachim should not come before you and stop the rain. Because people are traveling, rain is very difficult. Especially in their day, if it rained, it ruined the roads, it was extremely difficult. So the Kohen Gadol prays that the tefillot of the Ovrei Drachim should not come before you, because rain brings difficulty with it. It's not just the rain comes and, as we've seen until now, it's all beneficial. It also has that detrimental impact. It makes it difficult to travel. It makes it hard to conduct your normal business in the rain. So there is this tension in the rain. But he says, if it wasn't for the fact that we needed the rain to sustain us, I would ask the rain not come, because then it would make life a lot simpler. That's the same thing the Kohen Gadol says. I know that there are people that this is not going to be good for, but don't listen to their tefillot. We need the rain. Please bring the rain. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemesh b'Shabbat tzedakah le'aniyim. When the sun shines on Shabbat, that is a really nice gift for the aniyim. Shnemar b'zarcha lechem yirei shmi. Shemesh tzedakah umarpe. Now here it doesn't mention anything about Shabbat, it just says Yirei Shemi. And Rashi says Yirei Shemi are those that are Shomrei Shabbat. Those that fear Hashem are the ones that keep Shabbat. Then Shemesh, the sun that comes out on Shabbat, is tzedakah umarpe, is generous and curing. So I would say that because the Aniyim, that's their day off, that's the one day they don't have to go to work. So if it's a nice day, it's a beautiful day, that is to their benefit. They enjoy that because that's their one day of rest. From Rabbi Yitzchak, Gadol Yom HaGshamim, Shafila Pruta Shebekis Mitbarechet Bo. That the day that it rains brings so much bracha with it, that even your other transactions, your other investments, will go well on that day. Shenemar, Latet Metar Arzecha Bi'ito, Ulevarech Et Go Maaseh Yadecha. To give rain in your land in the right time, and to give a bracha to all that which you engage in, so that your investments are benefited by the rain that comes. I mean that the bracha that comes with the rain also affects your other investments. So if you're having deciding whether you should make an investment or not, a rainy day is a good day to make that investment. The bracha only comes to something that is hidden from the eye. Shenemar, Yitzav Hashem Yitcha Et HaBracha Ba'asamecha. Shem should bring blessing in asamecha. Here means really in your silos, in your storage. But there, darshaning asamecha means samui, hidden. Tana debi Rabbi Shmuel. Eina bracha mitzuya ala b'davar sheina ayin sholetet bo. Bracha is only found in something that the eye does not look at, does not have the ability to see. Shneamar. Yitzav Hashem et abracha ba'asamecha. Again, samui min ha'ayin means hidden from the eye. Tan Rabbanan, anichnas lamud et grono omer. Somebody goes in to measure his goren. Yihir atzom milfanecha Hashem elokeinu, shitshlach bracha ma'aseh yadeinu. You should send bracha in the work of our hands. Hitchil lamud omer, as he begins to count, he says, Baruch hashleach bracha b'kriya zeh. Blessed be the one who sends bracha to this mound, to this collection. Madad, v'achar kach birech, if he already measured it and then makes the bracha, harizu tefillat shav. That is a worthless tefillah. Fishena bracha mitzuya. The bracha is not found. Lo b'davar shakul. Not something that is weighed. Lo b'davar amadud. Not something that is measured. Lo b'davar amanui. Something that is counted. El b'davar sumui min ayin. Something that's hidden from the eye. So if you're hidden from the eye here, it doesn't literally mean hidden from the eye. It means that something that you don't have complete control over, complete understanding about. Now, Tosafot explains a little bit how this works, which is that we find a Gemara in Chulin that says that the Shedim came and they ruined certain barrels, they ruined certain things. And the Gemara there says that the Shedim only have power over things that are not counted, things that are not measured. So it seems to be almost counterintuitive. In order to have the bracha, you can't count and you can't weigh it. If you don't count and can't weigh it, then the Shedim have a chance, an opportunity to take it. So the way that Tosfot explains it over here is that the bracha comes to something that's not counted. You own what's there. But then it expands, or it's more, and it does better. So that excess that is there is really hefker. It doesn't belong to you. It came from outside. The Shedim only have power over hefker, not something that's owned. So therefore, the bracha that comes, the Shedim have the right to go to or take, because it's hefker, it's not really yours. You didn't lose anything, because it wasn't yours to start with. But based on that, you have to ask for two things. One is that you don't count it, so the bracha's there. But then you also have to say, like Rashi says by Birkat Kohanim, Yivarechecha, Hashem should give you bracha, v'yishmerecha. And He should protect the bracha. Not only should He give you the bracha, but He should protect you that the bracha stays. So that's the two stages. We ask for bracha, but then we also ask, once we get the bracha, that Hashem should be shomer, should guard that bracha, and ensure that that bracha comes to fruition. And that's the idea of here, a samui min ayin. Kibbutz, gaisot, tztaka, parnei siman, these are the simanim of what we're going to speak about now. So the first one is gaisot. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gadol yom ha-gshamim ki yom kibbutz galiyot. The day of rain is like the day of the ingathering of the exiles. Shinemar, shuva Hashem et shiviteinu, Hashem should bring back His exiles. Kafikim ba-negev, like streams in the Negev. Vein afikim el matar. In afikim is matar, shinemar. Ve-yei-ra-u, afike yam. This is in Shirat David, at the end of Shmuel Bet, it's also found in Tehillim, which is Ve'yaru Afike Yam, then appeared the channels of the sea. So you see that Afikim are channels, water, and so too over here, it's referring to rain. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Gadol Yom HaGshamim, Shafilu Gaisot Poskot Bo. The rainy days are so great that even the armies are stopped by the rain. Shinamar, Telameha Raveh, Nachet Gidudah. Again, we quoted this yesterday. Telameh Raveh means that the furrows are watered abundantly. Nachet Gidudah, its ridges have settled down. But obviously they're playing on the word Gidudah to mean Gidud. Gidud is a battalion or an army that's coming. Nachet, from the word Nachat, means they settle down, they have to rest. The rain forces the army to stop their march. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Ein HaGshamim Neatzarim El Shvil Poskei Tzedakah Rabim Ve'inotnim. The rains stop because of those that commit in public to give tzedakah, and then ve'inotnim, and they don't live up to their commitment. They make pledges, and they do not fulfill their pledges. Shneamar, I always think of this pasuk in Eretz Yisrael. Every time we get a cloudy day during the winter, and no rain comes, I think of this pasuk, which is, Nesiim v'ruach, clouds and wind, v'geshem ayin, but there's no rain. Ish mitaleo b'matat sheker. That's the equivalent of a person who boasts, b'matat sheker, or b'matat shaker, a gift of a lie, meaning that he makes a gift that he never really gives. And so that's the same thing as you get all the pomp and circumstance, the clouds, the wind, and there's no rain. The rain doesn't come. You get the threat of the rain without the rain, and so too over here, you get the pledge without the gift itself. Anyway, this pasuk, I'm always reminded of this pasuk and this drasha whenever this happens in Eretz Yisrael in the wintertime, where we're desperately awaiting the rain, and the clouds come, and the wind comes, and just, where's that rain? Where's that rain? What is meant by the pasuk? Aser te aser. So there's a double lashon there. Aser bishvil shetit asher. You should take off masrot in order that you should become wealthy. Tosafot over here brings a story of a individual who owned a field that produced 1,000 kurim every year. And he used to give 100 kur to tzedakah. And he tells his son on his deathbed, please carry this on. If you give your maser every year, then the field will produce. Sure enough, his son, the first year, does that, and it produces like it did. The second year, he says, this maser is way too much. How can I be giving up a tenth of my field, 100 kurim every year? So he doesn't give it the next year, and the following year, the subsequent year, the field only produces 100 kurim instead of 1,000 kurim. So Tosfos brings other drashot on this pasuk, which is aser to aser, which is that if you don't give your masrot to aser, it only produce 1/10, which is a similar idea that by the matnot kuhuna, that if you don't give the matnot to kuhuna, then you'll be only left with the kohen. You'll become like the kohen. If you don't give to the kohenim, if you don't give to aniim, then you will be like them and you'll only receive 1/10 of what you received before. So that's the idea. Aser tit aser is the brachas mitzuya. When you take off the masrot, that keeps the field going. Because if you don't, then the production of the field will diminish. So that's one of the drashot that Tosafot brings. The other drasha that Tosafot speaks about is aser te aser. Ein li ela tuvat zaracha shechayav. I only have that the growth or the grains, because the pasuk says aser te aser kol tuvat zaracha yotzeh asadeh shana shana. So that is talking about your grains, about your produce. You have to take off masrot. How do I know? Be ribit upragmatia v'chol shar rivachim, interest, business, and any other profits. Minayin. How do I know? Tamalomar et kol, everything that you have to take off masrot. From here is the rabot ribit upragmatia v'chol darvar shemer viachbo. Comes to include these other items. From here comes the minhag of taking off maser ksafim. It's a drasha that's brought in the Sifrei, but it's not a real drasha, it's just an asmachta from the pasuk, which is aser taser et kol, that you have to take off masrot from everything. And that's our practice today, to take off 10%, not just from produce, not just from what grows from the ground, but we also take 10% off of any of our profits or earnings, because that is the requirement or the bracha that Hashem says that you should give 10%, and that will, again, be to a bracha. It's also an important thing to remember that as society shifted from being an agrarian society to a less agrarian society, they had to shift the definition of masrot and the matnot aniyim, and therefore it shifted over to maser ksafim, which is the practice to give 10% of one's earnings to tzedakah. All right, we'll stop over here.